The following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
Today, I felt like I should come in and say, remember me. My name is Jenny, because we have missed 3 Sundays. And I'm aware at Wellspring that we all come and go, right? We all have family and other things going on, and we come and we go, but Richard and I were talking, and we've been going here about 7 years, and I don't think we've ever missed 3 weeks in a row, and I feel so happy to be back. And I know some of you better than others, but I have to say that no matter how well I know anyone in this body, I am very thankful every week when I am here. I love to watch people fellowship. It's such a bridge from week to week. With what we live out in our, you know, our Monday through Saturday. And I just value being in the presence of the fellowship here. And so I am so thankful to be back. And I want to tell you, just because I don't want to tell you at the end, that some of what I've been thinking about is based on this book by Philip Yancey. It's called Rumors of Another World. And it's just about the living in the physical world with the spiritual world in mind. And so I just wanted to give you this title in case you were needing any reading to do. I don't know how God teaches you through the Holy Spirit, but I know one of the things he does with me is he starts a topic, and then he begins a slow avalanche of pile-up on me. So there's a topic, and a few things in life happen, and I'm thinking about that topic, and then a few more things happen, right? And then a few more things, and so it just comes out that my interactions with people or in reading or things that happen, it just sort of begins this avalanche of learning about a topic. I don't know if that makes any sense, but that's how he's taught me for the last 30-some years. I became a Christian when I was 15, after growing up in a not a Christian home, but being brought to church by a family, as many of you bring people into the church. I was brought to church and then placed my faith in Christ when I was 15 years old. And so I am only here to just as an obedient person journeying on in faith as you are. I don't have any special credentials. I have a whole lot of messy history that qualifies me as a sinner saved by grace. So if you would just bow your heads or close your eyes or do neither of those, but if you would just turn to God with me in prayer for a second before I begin. So, God, it is so miraculous to me that we do not have to enter a holy of holies to be with you. That as we pray to you, the Godhead 3-in-1, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, that you have put your spirit in us, and somehow you make your home in us, and that you are here today ready to speak to each one of us by your spirit. And I am convinced that what you really chose to do today was speak to me. And you know, I tried to weasel out of this in my head and not do this today. And yet you said, yes, you will. So I thank you for whatever it is that you want to say to us today. We pray this and we open ourselves, our minds, our hearts, our lives to you. In the name of Jesus, who at one point in time was born, grew, was crucified, and is the only man that has come back from the dead besides those he raised besides himself. Amen. Whoa, every time I do this, emotion just comes out of nowhere. So we are going to spend a little bit of time this morning talking about time. So before I begin, I want to give you a chance with your spouse or whoever you may be sitting with to briefly talk about how's time going for you. Do you have some anxiety? Do you have enough of it? How is that all going? Just have some conversation for a minute before we get started. Go. I'll come talk to you. See, let me get this on. I might be thinking very differently about time. We were talking over here, and Tani said that she is a good time management person, and she said she's also a procrastinator, and I love the way she said, so time is just there until the last minute. I love that. So I am not going to present a full-scale theological doctrine of time. I bet you're glad about that. I would like to share a few thoughts about our spiritual relationship with time. And many messages on time will center on Ecclesiastes 3, where we learn that there is a time for every purpose under heaven, and the list that they give it, that there's a time for everything. However, this is not that kind of message. It's God gave me a different sort of brain, and there's been a lot of times in my life when I've been thinking, why did you give me this brain? Because it's like a herding a bunch of cats, collecting my thoughts and trying to go in a steady direction. And my thinking is so bipolar sometimes. I'm driving to work and I've got this job, and some days it's like, God, I am right where I'm supposed to be. And then the next day I'm driving to work and I'm thinking, I don't know why you thought I could do this. So I don't know if your faith is as bipolar as mine sometimes, but I've just decided that he's given me the brain that he's given me because he wants to mold me and shape me, and maybe I could minister to someone else with this brain. So I want to start with an oft-used proclamation, and maybe I'm the only one we've been heard to make, which is, I don't have enough time. Have any of you ever said that? Yeah. I wonder how many times I have said or thought this in through the years. As I reflect on my life in the last 30 or so years, I realize that I have spent the majority of my earthly life with some level of anxiety about time or the seeming lack of it. Now, there are those very helpful people that in a very convenient not moment who remind us that we all have the same amount of time, and it's really about how you use your time. Have you ever had those lectures at a very inconvenient time? And it feels for me like time is a perpetual wrestling match. It might be just me, but the truth is that this constant consideration of time is increasingly wearing me out. So God has been doing the avalanche thing with me lately about time. So what is time anyway? The words to describe time are an ever-present part of our daily conversation. Here's some words. Second, minute, hour, week, month, year, decade, century, millennium, beginning, middle, end, now, future. I'm starting to sweat just reading these words. I have so much anxiety. Past, later, before, afterward, yesterday, tomorrow, quickly, slowly, hurry up, slow down, wait, it's about time, and a favorite designation of time used by many of us, busy. Our time is all filled up. But what is it? So I've got some dictionary definitions. A non-spatial continuum that is measured in terms of events that succeed one another from past to present and the future, or the indefinite continued progress of existence and events in the past, present, and future regarded as a whole. So we could spend a whole lot of time digging into the marvelous physics and philosophy surrounding time, but I'm going to try to summarize this very complex issue from the Word of God. Time began at creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. God made the continuum that we exist inside of and we call time. Also, according to Scripture, God is the author, creator of the concept, the thing we call time, and time is under God's personal direction, and it's under his control, and he is not subject to its limitations. The Word tells us that he established the cycle of days and seasons by which time is known, and he possesses the power to dissolve them according to his eternal purposes, and he controls world history, and he used human prophets to speak in advance of his actions in time. In addition to this, God himself is described with many of the same words we use to describe time. This is how my brain works. This blows my mind. In Isaiah, God is said to be the first and the last. In Revelation, the beginning and the end, the one who is, who was, and is to come. The Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And in 1 Timothy and Revelation, the King of the Ages. Ages sounds like a long time. The book of John tells us that Jesus was with the Father in the beginning and, in fact, existed prior to the beginning of time. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing has been made that has been made. And in Colossians, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Like God, Jesus is not adversely affected by time. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have a hard time being the same within 24 hours. This same God and Jesus, who are described as the author and creators of time, chose to create mankind at a space and point in time. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals," all those things he created before he made man, "and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. And in Galatians 4, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. He had the whole thing planned. He made us. He gave us choice. And because he did that, he had a plan that Jesus would come, because he's not gonna force us. And that is the most glorious, loving thing that God has done. Having said all that, I want to return to my original statement. I don't have enough time. Do you see a problem with that? I'm having a problem with that. And that's why I'm speaking to me today. I kid you not, I stand here sheepishly admitting that I actually was having a conversation. This date, November 26th, was planned like in January that I would give the message on November 26th. And this year, I have moved and I have gotten a new job and I have a lot of things going on in my world of time. And now it's November 26th, and guess what conversation I was having with God this week? Oh, I might need to call Dave and Shorty and tell him I just can't do the message. I don't think I have enough time. And God is saying to me, are you kidding me? Are you serious, Jenny? Oh, yes, you will. And so he and I spent some time together, and he continued to avalanche my thinking about time. When I say I don't have enough time and continually wrestle with my time anxiety, I believe that I am essentially saying that God is either insufficient or he's stingy. How can I think or act as though God has shortchanged me when it comes to time, when the truth is every moment belongs to God, is authored by God, and is given to me as a gift inside of time? Please listen carefully to Ephesians 1. Maybe it's just me, but I'm terribly, terribly convicted today. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to his sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. I'm so ashamed that this week I was saying, I don't have enough time to talk about you. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of his sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to put our hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. My friends, I propose today that it isn't about having enough time. It's about putting our faith in the one who has made us and authored the time in which he has placed us. In Ephesians 2, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no man can boast. Because we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, prepared when? In advance for us to do. And he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. As I have been contemplating this topic of time for some time, I recently recognize and have shared with God that what I really am is I'm weary of living inside of the constraints of time. That's what I am. I long to enter into a conversation with a friend that lasts as long as it lasts, and I don't have to go. I long to not be too busy to stop and meet the need of someone who has an obvious need. I long to read and take walks with God and cook meals to share with friends without needing to finish before I'm ready. And as he and I have discussed this awareness that's growing in me, I've realized that the effect that this has had has caused me to long for my home. Because this is not my home. This honesty with God is helping me to, as Philip Yancey says in his book, live more sacramental, which literally means to live keeping the sacred in mind. One author I read about speaks of the thin places in time where the natural and the supernatural worlds come together at their narrowest with only a thin veil between them. We're coming up on a season where some of us celebrate Christmas. The world has created this holiday of sorts, but we as Christians, whether we do it in December or we do it at some other time of the year that Scripture might say was actually his birth, we celebrate a very thin place where eternity and time come together and God steps in as a human being. There is no thinner place. And that's what I want to celebrate. And so I want to share a thought about time that has changed my world. This is what, in fact, began my avalanche. I was reading a book, and it was talking about the traditional view of time as God is in heaven. Picture heaven, right? And he did creation, and then he did Abraham, and then he brought Moses, and he interacted in humanity, and then a bunch of years went by, and Jesus was born, and we're on our way to the second coming where he'll come back. And when you think about God as being in heaven and that kind of interaction with transactions in time, it's like a divine basting stitch where the needle comes down and back up to heaven. And some time goes by and the needle comes down and we have Abraham. And then some time goes by and it comes, you see what I'm saying, where we just sort of have history tacked loosely to God in heaven. I want to share a different kind of thinking with you. Picture time from creation to second coming as water. Now think about an iceberg invisible below the water. And now picture this as God under all of history. In this analogy, 1/10 of his presence to all history will be visible above the surface. Creation, Abraham, Moses, the birth of Jesus. But his presence out of sight will be just as much a part of history as his presence in broad daylight, in time. Or to put it as one writer did, and you guys, maybe it's just me, but this is one of the most exciting things I've read in my entire life. All of history will be thus intimately and immediately present to the mystery of God's entire work and being. He has not come down from somewhere and intervened in the world from which he was absent. He has been and is and will be the abiding presence before time began and within the thing we call history represented by time and after time ceases as we know it. I want to just sit with that for a second, and I'm going to repeat that everything is intimately and immediately present to the mystery of God's entire work and being. I want to live in the thin places every day. So I'm sorry. I am sorry for what I was thinking this week. So I am so thankful that God has given me this avalanche of thinking about, stop whining about your time. Turn to me and ask me about the next best thing I have you to do with your time. I got a lot of selfishness in there, because it's really about sometimes not wanting to give up the other things that I want to do. But he's also teaching me that there's nothing that I can give up in time that is so good that it is better than my relationship with him, or that it won't be so much more glorious in heaven if I give it up here on earth. So I leave you with this thought. Thank you for letting me talk today, and I know you didn't have a choice, but I'm so excited that God didn't let me off the hook. God, this is a quote, God has given us just enough time to do what we need to do moment by moment to respond to him. And his grace is there. It is always present. Every moment is a sacrament where time touches eternity. And there is exactly enough time to do what God has called us to do. Worship team, you can come on up. I'm going to pray while you're coming. Here we are, Lord, inside of time. We long for you to make your appearance. And until you do, may we use the moments we have inside of time to build our faith so that when you make your appearance, there is no question that we are ready. Forgive us for where we have sinned. And thank you for the grace that redeems the moments of our failures and makes us new creatures. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado.